Today on Real Radio.
If I don't ask, he's faithful. It's true. And when I do ask, he's faithful. God is in control always. It's us that so rarely see God involved in everything. And yet the Bible tells us, Jesus tells us, that a sparrow, a little bird, cannot fall to the ground without God knowing about it. He's telling us that he cares. And so, mark this down. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12 says that it's God who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand. He takes the sea and he measures it out in that little dip that's in the palm of your hand when you hold it flat. God says he measures out the oceans in the hollow of his hand. He measures out the heavens with the span of his hand. The word span here means from his thumb to his pinky. Isn't that great? See, is God's hand that big? No, this is a metaphorical speaking, but the truth is he's in control to the point where as just as easy as it is for you to control things from your thumb to the end of your pinky that's in your hand and in the power of your hand, so God rules the heavens. I love that.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days are free. Praise, my heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch, Lord. I live for your love.
Hello, and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Old Testament narrative of Jonah. In fact, we begin the final study in our journey through this account. It's taken from the last chapter, chapter 4, and verses 6 through 11. The entire story ends with an apparent argument between Jonah and the very true God he represents. Of course, we know who wins in the end. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Finding Jonah.
Grab your Bibles then and turn to the book of Jonah, chapter 4, and our last study today in the book of Jonah. And I have really enjoyed this book. Had a lot of fun with him. Jonah. The title of the message this morning is Finding Jonah. Jonah's going to be finding himself as we come to the end of the chapter. And Jonah probably thought he knew himself until this mission that God sent him on came into his life in a very powerful way. Jonah chapter 4, and we are in verses 6 through 11 this morning. Jonah 4, verse 6. And the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm. And it was so damaged the plant that the plant withered. And it happened that when the sun arose, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." Then God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" And he said, "It is right for me to be angry even to death." But the Lord said, "You have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock?" And the book ends. What? I got to tell you that when we were in the book of Galatians still, my wife and I were driving to Santa Barbara, and she was reading Jonah to me as we were heading up the 101 freeway, and she came to the end, and it caught her off guard, and she paused, and then I, as I'm driving, said, "Well, keep going." And she said, "That's it. That's the end of the book." She said, "I've read it many times before in my life, but it never dawned on me that it ends this way." And I said, "Turn the page. It's got to continue. It can't just end like that." Well, it ends just like that. And I've got to tell you, people, I'm excited to tell you that after studying this fourth chapter of Jonah, I'm so glad it ends this way. There's a great reason why it ends this way. And we will see why that's true. It has to end this way. And it's all predicated upon the questions and the comment that God makes to Jonah in these closing verses. It's fantastic. If I'm faithful to what God has put into my head and heart in preparation, then I hope that you'll be excited about it as I have been. As I completed this message on Thursday, I wish I could have gotten up out of my living room and run into this sanctuary and delivered the message then because of what it was meaning to me. Finding Jonah. Well, before we get into this, let's just look at verses 1 through 5 that set the stage for these verses 6 through 11 closing statements of both God and Jonah. In Jonah 4, verse 1, it says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly." Remember what displeased him? The salvation of the entire city of Nineveh. He was so bent on their destruction that he was upset and angry, became very angry that they were saved. So he prayed to the Lord God and said, "Ah, Lord, was not this what I said to you when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness." He's blaming God for these things. "One who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Then the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Sounds like the closing verses, huh? God asked it twice. Jonah, are you correct? Are you justifiable in being angry? So Jonah went out of the city. He didn't even answer God. The little brat of a prophet that he is. Turns and stomps out of the city. Doesn't even answer God. Best to answer God when he asks you a question. Lest you find yourself getting overheated by an east wind. So he goes out of the city. He sits on the east side of the city. And there he made himself a shelter and sat under it in its shade till he might see what would become of the city. He's still hoping against hope that God will somehow change his mind and bring judgment against these Ninevite Assyrians who were very wicked people. So what we're going to be learning from these verses that lie ahead of us, 6 through 11, is some very interesting things. Note this in your Bible, maybe off to your margins there, you can write in the open space, verses 6 through 11, that God is in absolute command. Now look, he's in control. You and I, we get reminded of this because, frankly, we are so busy running around town doing our thing that we forget that every moment of the day and night, God is in control. Now, you and I would sit in the sanctuary this morning and nod our heads in approval because theologically, we know that's true. But how often do we forget that? No doubt, as Christmas has just passed, now another daunting task is upon you and me, and that's getting back to the mall to exchange what we got. And the malls are packed. And you are threatened there in that moment. Is God in control? Well, let me encourage you. The first thing that you want to do is say, "God, will you provide for me a parking spot?" Right? And the funny thing is, in my life, and I love this, in the life of my family, when we go to do such things or whatever event we might be at and it's crowded, we need a parking spot, when we remember to ask, he always provides a parking spot. And the Bible says you have not because you ask not. You say, "Pastor, are you serious that you would ask God for a parking spot?" You bet I would and do. And so when I remember, which is not often enough, "Lord, how about opening up a parking spot for us?" He blesses us with a parking spot. And he's blessing when I don't ask because I have to walk further to the store. I might even lose a pound or two getting there. That in itself is a blessing as well. If I don't ask, he's faithful. It's true. And when I do ask, he's faithful. God is in control always. It's us that so rarely see God involved in everything. And yet the Bible tells us, Jesus tells us that a sparrow, a little bird, cannot fall to the ground without God knowing about it. He's telling us that he cares. And so, mark this down. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12 says, that it's God who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand. He takes the sea and he measures it out in that little dip that's in the palm of your hand when you hold it flat. God says he measures out the oceans in the hollow of his hand. He measures out the heavens with the span of his hand. The word span here means from his thumb to his pinky. Isn't that great? See, is God's hand that big? No, this is a metaphorical speaking, but the truth is he's in control to the point where as just as easy as it is for you to control things from your thumb to the end of your pinky that's in your hand and in the power of your hand, so God rules the heavens. I love that. It goes on. It says that he's weighed the mountains of the earth in scales and the hills in his balances. He knows exactly how much Chino Hills weighs. Exactly. He's in control. We learned this in Jonah chapter 1, verse 4, when we kicked off this study, that it said there in Jonah 1, 4, that it is the Lord who sent out a great wind on the sea and it created a great sea storm for Jonah. Remember that? God was in control. He's in control of the weather. Always. Jonah chapter 1 verse 17 said that it was the Lord who prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. He's in absolute control. God controls the natural elements and his creative world. The example of this being true is in the life of Jesus. In Mark chapter 4 verse 38, the Bible says there, but he was in the stern, that is Jesus was in the stern of the little ship, and he was sleeping on a pillow. And they awoke him and they said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we perish? Then Jesus arose and he rebuked the wind. And he said to the sea, Peace, be still. By the way, the word in the Greek is be muzzled. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said to them, Why are you so fearful? Why are you so unbelieving and have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another amongst themselves, Who can this man be that even the wind and the sea obey him? The attributes given to God are the attributes of Jesus Christ. Why? Because in Romans chapter 9, verse 5, it says there that Jesus Christ is the blessed God. He's God manifested in human flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ, control of all things. And so we see God in Jonah, controlling all things. First point, jot it down in our study this morning, it's this, and there's only going to be 2 points. We're going to have a really quick message. I'm kidding. You know this by now. But there are 2 points this morning. Verses 6 through 8 is this. In finding Jonah, we realize this, that God uses what he must. Can you put that down? Make that a little note in your little diary there. If you don't have any paper, there's a little note sheet in front of you. Pull it out. That God uses what he must. For what? For what purpose? In finding Jonah. It's not that God is looking for Jonah. Jonah needs to find out more about himself. Church, isn't that true about us? We need to find out more about us. God's way. From God's view, from his perspective, you and I think we know who we are, but it's only God who knows, in fact, who we truly are. So God will use, and we've learned this in this book, what he must. And what he must use, number one, look at verse 6, is his goodness. That God will use his goodness toward us, toward Jonah, in this way. It says, and the Lord God prepared, there's that word again, you ought to circle it. It means that God has appointed or ordained a plant. A plant. And he made it come up over Jonah. God did that. That it might shade him from his head. Remember, he's bald-headed from being in the belly of a fish and all of the acids that ate his protein away. So he's sitting there. He's got this little plant now that's come up over him that God's provided. You can see we captured actual footage of that. And it's projected onto the screens there from the movie Jonah. That I trust all of you have seen by now, that great cartoon in VeggieTales. You can tell the depth of my theology, huh? That's the kind of thing I go and see there. But it's a great, great little story. But God had prepared this plant, this vine, to grow up over Jonah and to shield him as the sun beat upon his head from his misery. And so Jonah was very grateful for the plant. Jonah is, this is a great thing. He's all excited now. Jonah's got an official smile on his face. He's happy. He's sitting on the hill there. He's got the plant over his head. He's so happy. He's so glad. This is really refreshing news because we see Jonah now kind of enjoying himself. This is a good thing. He's been a grump all along the way. And so he's very glad, very grateful for the plants. Jonah was miserable for the intense heat. By the way, I did a little bit of research on this. When you go to this part of the world online and take a look at some temperatures of the area of Mosul, Iraq, off the Tigris River, you know what the average summer, August, September temperature is during the months of August and September in Mosul? The average, 110 degrees Fahrenheit, the average. That's hot. And so he's sitting there. We don't know the time of the year, but we know this, it's hot. And he's sitting there and he's got his shade and now he's comfortable. And this divine, as it were, appointed plant grows up overnight and covers Jonah from this blazing and scorching heat and all. So God in his goodness miraculously provides an awning for Jonah, and he's very glad about that. So Jonah takes comfort in God's umbrella. And he's rejoicing in that. Why is this important? Because Jonah is enjoying something, listen, that he had no right to and that he had no privilege to. It's God provided. God has done this. How many things in your life and in my life does God provide? Can we not say when our hearts are right, when we begin to appreciate God for everything, that he's provided all for us? That truly, when James says all good things come from God, we can say amen to that. It is true. Do we take and we do things for granted that when we can get out of bed without the assistance of somebody, it's going to be a good day? God provides. The word prepared here, that he had prepared a plant, it's a great word in the Hebrew. It means to weigh out by implication. It means it was right, good, it was the thing to do from God's perspective for Jonah. We want to be asking the question as Bible students always, why? Why was this a good thing for God to do? The word also means that God allotted or allocated, that he enumerated one plant that was all that was needed to bring about his goodness. The word also means to enroll or to enlist what is needed for the job. That is one of God's great powers, is that God will bring into your life and my life exactly that which is needed. And that's one of the things that you and I as a follower, as a disciple of God, that we sometimes wrestle with God about. God, I think I need more. Maybe it's in the way of finances. God, don't you think that I should be making more? God might come back and say, don't you think that maybe you should be living within your means? But God, don't you think that I should have this? And so I'm going to use my credit card. And God will say, maybe you should wait and I'll provide for you some other way. I don't know. But we, because out of desire or because of what we want, rather than what God has desired and want for us, that we will overextend ourselves and get ourselves into trouble. And that is the scourge of America. America is in debt. It is huge. And you cannot stay that way, by the way. In time, America must financially collapse. We've done it to ourselves. It has to happen. I mean, every economist knows this. It's got to happen. See, Pastor, I don't want to hear that. It's just, it will happen. It has to happen. It's the way it goes. God is saying perhaps to Jonah, Jonah, live within your means. Listen, and here are your means. And you can almost hear a drum roll and a shh of the cymbals. God says, it's me. Jonah, I will be your means. I will be your provider. I will be the one in all of my goodness to give unto you exactly what you need. Jonah, have I not been faithful to do that as the message God is sending through that little plant? Look at this. Jonah was arguing with God the whole time. He was a prophet in rebellion. He's angry about God's goodness to the Ninevites. He wants them all to die. God wants them all to live. He wants them lost. God wants them saved. He's angry. He's at odds with God. And what does God do? God extends a blessing to him. That's amazing to me. And yet God is so very good. But Jonah was very grateful for the plant. He's rejoicing in the plant. Tragically, listen, he's not rejoicing in the souls of those that were saved in Nineveh. He's rejoicing in the plant. Anybody know why? The plant provided him comfort. The saving of the souls of the Ninevites, who he couldn't stand, because we know our study well now, that did not bring him joy. That did not bring him great pleasure, because he didn't want them saved. Jot it down if you would. Jonah's priorities are completely skewed. He does not want what God wants. He wants what he wants. Jonah wants a plant to cover his head. I want to be comfortable. I want to be at ease. And God says, I want people saved. And there's some people who catch this. And they will begin to seek God about how souls might be saved. And God may speak to that person and say, now listen, God may speak to them and say, I want you to go to this part of the world. I want you to go to Bangladesh. And the amazing thing about when God is speaking to somebody's heart about the salvation of souls, which can you imagine when the Bible says when one sinner repents and comes into the knowledge of God, that the angels in heaven rejoice. People, we don't know how many angels that is, but it's a lot of angels. Heaven rejoices when one person's converted. And heaven is all lit up with praise over the conversion of one sinner. And I'm wondering how many people even care if somebody comes to Christ. I wonder how many Christians just don't even give the time of day to such a thing. We become so busy about other things that have stolen or robbed positions in our hearts that we're no longer concerned about the things that are exciting and desirous of God. Jonah should be rejoicing. He's not rejoicing. He's rejoicing in his own comfort, but not in the salvation of others. And I am tested by this verse. Do I rejoice in the things that God is concerned about? What is important to me? Are the things that are important to me, Jack, are the same things that are important to God, to Jesus? If I were to honestly, with nobody looking, jot down a list of 10 priorities that occupy my thinking, my life, listen, my energy, my financial giving, my time, if I were to write those things down, in all honesty, they will announce to my own life where and what I am concerning the kingdom of God. Am I saved? Do I love the Lord? Yes. But am I following the Lord? Now that I do love Him and now that I know Him, am I following Him? See, Jonah, in a very real way, is divided from the very passion of God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Finding Jonah. It's a study taken from chapter 4, the very last chapter of this Old Testament narrative, and verses 6 through 11. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio with more, so be sure and join us. Now remember, since we are wrapping up this series, you may want to look into getting this entire audio series in an 11-CD package simply called The Book of Jonah, a study by Pastor Jack Hibbs. Our offer is simple. For your gift of any amount, we'll be glad to send it out to you. You see, whatever you contribute, large or small, all goes toward covering the various costs involved in bringing you this program each weekday. And it's all tax-deductible. Call, click, or write. Just be sure and mention the title of the study. In a word, Jonah. Visit us at realradioactive.org and read all about it under the banner Special Offer. That's www.realradioactive.org. Or call us using our new toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. You can also write to us, include your donation when you write to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, any details you may have missed are easily found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.